Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney, who is off today. Joining me now, you may know him best as Spengler from the Asia Times. He's also the author of How Civilizations Die, and a man that Secure Freedom Radio really loves to turn to whenever we're dealing with the intersection between economics and national security. He is David Goldman. David, thank you so much for joining us here on Secure Freedom Radio.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
We've had a number of interesting movements within the Trump administration when it comes to economic policy lately, most perhaps importantly, the removal of former economic advisor Gary Cohen and the replacement with Larry Kudlow. What do you think about that move? Is this the right decision in terms of finding somebody who will be a good fit for what President Trump wants to accomplish on the economic front?
I think Larry is a terrific choice. I've known him for more than 30 years. I was his colleague at Bear Stearns. I used to be a regular guest on his CNBC program. I think the world of him. I think he'll be a great fit for a number of reasons. First of all, he is a hardcore right of Genghis Khan conservative. He'll fit in perfectly with the president's broader agenda, including national security. Secondly, Larry is a huge believer in the innate strength of the American economy and the virtues of free markets and private initiative. He's a terrific economist, also a great cheerleader, also a terrific public spokesman for policy. So I think the Trump administration will have both an excellent advisor and an effective public advocate. And thirdly, he's a great human being. I think he'll fit in very well with the team. I'm very happy to see a counterweight to the Peter DeVarro, Wilbur Ross tariff wing of the team. And I think Larry's hired, given the fact that he's publicly criticized the steel and aluminum tariff, shows that Trump wants a diversity of views, lots of inputs, as opposed to a single ideological color in his administration, and that's a good thing.
In print, if I'm not mistaken, David, you've been somewhat skeptical, might be generous, but critical of the president on tariffs. Is there a case for tariffs, either from an economic perspective or from a national security perspective?
Well, in certain cases, absolutely. Protectionism is a good thing. For example, the president's decision to spike the merger between Qualcomm and Singapore-based Broadcom was the single most aggressive act to protect American technology in economic history, of which I'm aware. I think it was brilliantly correct. The most dangerous thing would be to let China get hold of the crown jewels of American high tech, because that's really where economic wars are won in the long term. It's in the heights of technology. In the case of the tariffs, I think they were badly designed. Our main problem is economic competition and unfair economic competition from China. The tariffs stepped on the toes of countries who really are no threat to us, like Canada, Brazil, and Mexico, first of all, and South Korea. They simply were the wrong measure at the wrong time.
Is there a way that perhaps with the recent appointment of Larry Kudlow, the president can maybe walk back those tariffs or refine them in a way that he doesn't lose face, but he also achieves what he wants to achieve?
Oh, Larry predicted that there would be exemptions for some of our allies, and that it appears that the administration is doing exactly what you say, walking back the tariffs in terms of exempting certain trading partners while leaving the principle in place. My guess is the president wants to send a strong signal that he cares about American jobs and about American workers, of which steel is obviously a vulnerable and exposed section of the economy. And I think he conveyed that message politically in a very effective way. The problem is that the tariffs as such were a poorly designed economic response. And I think Peter DeVarro simply did a poor job in putting it together.
President Trump recently had a tweet that I thought spoke to his sort of his psychology on this. And he said, if you don't have steel, you don't have a country. And in a way, I guess that sort of harkens back to a traditional age where, you know, the reliance on your steel industry, your ability to produce battleships and so on and so forth was really the beating heart of your national security. And he's quite right. If you didn't have steel, you didn't have a country. But is that still the right target? And if not, what is the beating heart of national security and economics? You mentioned technology. Is it technology? Is it microchips? What is it?
Well, semiconductors are obviously the biggest concern. We won the Cold War with semiconductors. It was our ability to put fast and light computing into fighter planes, to better target missiles, the threat of strategic defense initiative, which convinced the Russians they could not possibly win a war against us in the 1980s and contributed mightily to the fall of communism. Now, in the case of steel, the president's right. You do need steel. However, Canada is a close ally and on our border, and Canada as a steel supplier is not a gap in national security, nor is Mexico, for that matter, nor is Brazil. A Chinese official told me, why is the United States trying to protect industries that we want to get rid of? The supply of steel is not a threat to our national security. And implicit in your question is, was the national security justification for the tariffs the right justification? No, I think it wasn't. I think it was, in fact, tendentious. I think Trump was trying to send a message of support for American workers who've been losing ground. It's the right message to send, but the details of the message were not as they should have been.
And of course, I mean, you mentioned the political aspect of this, and it's hard to ignore, you know, the first Republican president to win Pennsylvania in a long, long time. You know, the political importance of Ohio and other traditional sort of Rust Belt states. It does resonate with that area. We had a recent, obviously recent important election in Pennsylvania. So it's, I guess it's not surprising from the domestic side that, that the president focuses on this. But how do we sort of refocus attention on where it needs to be in terms of national security? I mean, is this all domestic politics? And can President Trump talk a good game and still do the right thing economically?
Well, of course he can. As I said, spiking the attempt on the part of Broadcom to acquire Qualcomm, which is the premier maker of chips for mobile phones, was an aggressive protectionist measure. And I am 100% for it. I think it was exactly the right thing to do. I would go back to the Reagan years, where we spent massive amounts of money to make sure that the United States had military technology that could overwhelm any possible opponent. And we persuaded the Russians that they couldn't keep up with us. I would like to see a very heavy investment, for example, in federal R&D in cooperation with industry, to crack things like quantum computing, like new methods of manufacturing semiconductors, like new methods of tracking a possibly hostile object in the oceans, all of which involve non-trivial scientific discoveries. Back in the Reagan years, we were spending nearly 1% of GDP in federal research and development. Now it's about half that. So I'd like to see that kind of spending on defense tech aggressively increased. That's different from an industrial policy. I think that private industry should take the risk on commercialization, but that the federal government should bear some of the risk of the basic research.
I think you raise a really good point. And of course, both the Chinese and the Russians are very active in this research area. They boost it with the government help quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. China now has what they call a quantum communications between satellites and ground stations, which are completely uncrackable as a matter of physical principle.
David, thank you so much for joining us here on Secure Freedom Radio. We were speaking with David Goldman about the intersection between economics and security and making the case that the Trump focus on steel tariffs was perhaps not the right angle. Instead, the right approach may be a focus more on high technology and, of course, the importance of blocking the Broadcom-Qualcomm merger. David, thank you so much for joining us. That's all the time we have. We'll be right back here on Secure Freedom Radio.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.